I always seem to get the beginning of a series, so I'm the one that sort of introduces it. So I'm going to take you through quite a few things this morning, but we are going to be doing more on this. We've been doing a series on work, and we've been looking at the dignity of all work, we've been looking at the design of work, and we've been looking at the challenge that work brings, the thorns and thistles, and we've been talking all about that. But today I want to move the focus a little bit more on to the work of the church and its callings. Wow. Expressed through the ministry specifically of Jesus. Wow. So I'm just opening up the envelope and broadening it a little bit, but also looking at specifically the church, the works, our works, the works we do, and the callings of that, of the church. I'm talking about obviously the big church and obviously us. Jesus said this in John 14, verse 12. He said, "Truly, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." Wow. Let's just read that again. This is what Jesus said. "Truly, I say to you," that means it's pretty clear, "whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they'll even do greater things than these," he says, "because I am going to the Father." So we have work to do then, don't we? Works and work to do, both individually. We've been looking at a lot of that as we've been looking at work and specifically praying for people's work situations, and collectively as a church as well. In just to focus a little bit on the individual, in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? God is saying, not only I've got good works for you, but I've actually planned them already. It's not for you just to do, it's for you. There's specific things for you to do. And he is speaking at that point individually. In Ephesians, he starts talking about individual, and then he eventually starts talking about the church, roughly around chapter 3. So it's great news, isn't it? He has specific works, and we are designed to do good works. But he also calls us as a church, as a community, collectively, he calls us into the work of the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Also in the book of Revelation, when Jesus is praying for each church, he actually names the church and then he prays for it and gives a prophetic word to it. And he says this in verse 18, the angel of the church at Thyatira writes the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like flame, "I know your works." So he's addressing a community, a church. "I know your works, your love, your faith, your service, and patient endurance. And the latter works exceed the first." He describes looking at a church and knowing their works. So it's a collective thing as well. So the conclusion is we've got works to do, and we've got works to do as a church. Well, what does this mean? What are we talking about? Work and works. What is it on about? And most of us immediately think of the church. And when we think of the church, we think of the things we do. So we think of prayer, that's works. We think of worship, doing worship, singing at the front. We think of leading worship, if we're doing that. Or serving, and serving church. So children's work and coffee and things like that. And we might actually think a little bit more, and we might actually think, well, also a little bit of evangelism occasionally, we might do those things. None of those are wrong. Don't mishear me. None of those are wrong, but they're not a complete view. But also, our mind might even stretch a bit further, and we think, oh, works, well, that's to do with what Jesus did when he brought the kingdom. So we think of Luke 4, and we think of the proclaiming the good news, liberty to the captives, and liberty to the oppressed. And we're aware, and we've had a lot of teaching, and rightly so, that we are kingdom agents, we're co-partners with the kingdom to redeem and restore this world. So we think, right. Now, none of those are wrong. None of those views are wrong. But they tend to focus on activities that we do and outcomes of those activities, which is not wrong, but the great stuff. But not quite the complete view. And so today, I want us to just dig a little bit deeper into something that's inside all of us. There's a layer inside all of us. And I want to give some shape and color to that, to our ministry and to our works, because ministry and works is the same thing. I want to connect a few dots. I want to look at something a little bit more holistically, and that's something that reaches back to the very Father who sent Jesus in the first place, when where we fit into that. I want us to see that our works truly reflect the actual ministry of Jesus himself. And I hope excite you when you start to see what we've been called to. So it's really important, as followers of Jesus, to look at the ministry of Jesus. You know, look at the pattern. We look at the pattern that he did. Not only who he was, but what he did. And let's just start. Let's just look at the ministry of Jesus. Well, as the Messiah, yeah, Jesus himself was sent into this world as the chosen agent of God's mission to redeem us and then to release us to do the same. He was apostolic. That's what apostolic means, sent. It says again and again, Jesus was sent by the Father to establish his kingdom, his rule, his reign. He was sent. He was apostolic. And he is even called the supreme apostle in Hebrews 3, chapter 1. It wasn't just that, was it? That's huge. He was also the one that restores us to the relationship to a holy, just, passionate God. Even when we've been unfaithful, he restores us. And that restoration and call back to the faithfulness of God is infinitely prophetic. Look at the Old Testament over and over again. The prophets in the Old Testament call the people of God, Israel at the time, back to the faithfulness of God. Are you hearing him? Are you in line with him? Are you listening? Jesus was fiercely and uncompromisingly prophetic. In almost everything he said, he went back to the covenantal faithfulness of God. He spoke prophetically over individuals like Peter, frequently had gifts of discernment over people's lives, but at the same time, he prophesied over the whole of Israel. Did you know that? He actually prophesied over Israel. He was prophetic, and he was called the prophet. Jesus also proclaimed the good news for the poor. He proclaimed forgiveness of sinners, salvation for the lost. He rescues us from sin, Satan, death, reconciling us as lost sons and daughters to the Heavenly Father. He spoke many times, I am the Son who came to save the lost. He was the embodiment of the good news. He was evangelistic and the ultimate evangelist. It was more than that, wasn't he, as well? Jesus was included excluded people and built them into a covenantal community through healing, through inclusion and love. And he created a family. He created disciples who were in a community, and he worked with them. And he said frequently, I am the good shepherd. Several times demonstrating with Peter his shepherding, unbelievable shepherding of Peter. The way when Peter denied him and then how he restored him is just phenomenal. Even Peter, when he wrote his letter at the end, said, he is the chief shepherd. And I can see why he would say that. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. He was the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. But he wasn't just that as well. He taught people whenever he could. He instructed, he guided the disciples, teaching them his ways at every possible point. He brought the understanding of the the parables of the kingdom with unrivaled authority. Everybody who heard Jesus said, it wasn't necessarily even what he said. Sometimes he just said, he's just got so much authority. He says that in Mark. He taught beautifully with great precision of what the gospel was. He even spent time. It wasn't just preaching. He spent time with Nicodemus all night to explain the gospel to Nicodemus. He was a teacher, a supreme teacher. Wow. So here's the conclusion. Those fivefold ministries, fivefold functions, apostolic, prophetic, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher are unmistakably present in Jesus' life and ministry. And it's not surprising the New Testament is just full of it from end to end. It's very clear from the biblical accounts that Jesus is that perfect example of the apex, that's what it is, apex, the fivefold ministries. In fact, he's called the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. Even when they still called him a prophet and they misunderstood, he didn't say, I'm not a prophet, by the way. He just often got them to try and understand more, but he said, the prophet, the evangelist, the good shepherd, and the teacher. And he came to do the Father's work. And that's what describes that incredible ministry. Now, we could pause there and just say, wow, that's just amazing. But Jesus gives us his ministry. As the Father sent Jesus, Jesus now sends us, and he gives us that ministry. It's amazing, and I haven't got time this morning to show you how in the Father's heart, right back in the Garden of Eden, that Adam was sent. He was told not to eat. He was instructed. He had all of those things happening, and he completely failed. And now Jesus came in his place and was perfect. But he doesn't just do the restoration. He then turns around and says, now you go and you do it. And he gives us his ministry. And it's given to all of us. And we'll see that. Here what it says in Ephesians 4. And this is an amazing passage where she brings loads of things together and very quickly goes off on one and then comes back. So hang on. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says he ascended on high and he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all in heaven in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works, there's works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself within love as each part does its work. Now the point, I know it's a long passage, but I just want to focus on the first bit. It says, by grace was given to each one of us according to Christ's gift. And then it says there, and he gave apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, shepherds, and etc., to equip the saints. Jesus now gives us his ministry. And as Alan Hirsch says in one of his books, he says, the fivefold ministry is the way or the mode by which he extends his ministry through us. Now, I know right now I could talk about this for 7 hours and bore you to tears. I could spend 30 minutes on every word. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to give you 4 or 5 quick points, and then I'm going to wrap up. I just want to point a couple of things out. Firstly, in this passage, you can see it's gifts of people. Paul describes the ministry of Jesus given to the church in terms of gifts to people, of people. Okay, there is gifts given to people, and then we receive the gift of people. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and shepherds, and etc. Now, I just want you to notice, we don't just represent Jesus in some way. We actually embody him. We are literally his hands, his feet, his heart. And he's chosen to live through his body. And it's real flesh and blood. Okay? It's not just some mystery up in the sky that somehow we attain to. It's flesh and blood. It's gifts of men. And by the way, men is all of us, not women, and you know, it's not male, it's men, if you understand what I mean. That's first point. Second point, there is a difference between Jesus' ministry and ours. And it's in this simple word, he says, he apportions the gifts amongst the body. Now, when Jesus was, as we read and went through, Jesus was on the earth, he operated all those 5 all the time. He was operating. When it comes to the church, it's different. And he does this amazing thing, and he apportions the gifts. In other words, nobody has all 5. But together, when you take us all together, we are fully like Jesus. Do you understand? So we are, this is difference. It means there's something magic going on here, that he apportions the gifts. So it means we work together to see the fullness of Jesus' ministry. No one has all 5. But the second point, and it's really important to see, that the ministries are given to a body. They're given to Jesus. He describes this body growing up, building itself up. It's so important we see that it's the whole body he gives it to. This is the body of Christ. So we are, it's like this, put it this way. If somebody looks at the church from a distance, oozing out of every corner should be a pest. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. We should be apostolic. We should be prophetic. We should be evangelistic. We should be shepherds. We should be teachers. So just even looking at the church from a distance, because he's giving it to the whole body, that's what we should see. Now, that's the exciting bits. And I just want to go to the next slide just to help us to understand what God has done in giving us his ministry. Now, I know people will look at this scripture and go, this is all about the church. As you can see, he's addressing the church. He's talking straight away about giving us his ministry. But I want you to see something that's the ultimate destination of his ministry. It isn't just to make us a very nice, mature place. It is, yes. So on the left-hand side, if you think of us as a church, there's the whole building together of all those 5 gifts within the church and growing together, and there's a sense of it growth and connection in the church. But is it just then to make us into a nice, mature, strong body? Yes, but for what? And the verse 10 of that passage tells us, it says, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than the heavens. Here's the words. In order to fill the whole universe. What he's doing on the left-hand side is growing something so we will go out and fill the whole universe. Do you see? It's not just about an internal process, which is all good. It's so we represent him. We fully embody him in the church, so we go out into the world and see him fill the whole universe. This is not just talking about the church. It's talking about going out to the whole world. What does that mean? What that means is, if you have an element in you that's apostolic. You are apostolic in your workplace. You scatter into the workplace. Yes, the church is that, and we're together like that, but we're here to go out. So if you have an element of prophetic, you bring that to your workplace. Who you are, you take with you. The ministry of Jesus that's been given to you, you go out with it. It's what you carry with you all the time. Teacher is exactly the same. Evangelist. It's expressed in different ways, but fundamentally, it's that. There's a book called Scattered Servants by Alan Scott. He describes this very, very well. Right. Okay, I'm coming into land. Now, I could touch on each of the fivefold ministries and explain them, but we're going to do that in the next 5 weeks. We're going to give a lot more detail, and Tom and Rowan and myself are going to go into each one, and we're going to explain it. We're going to define it a little bit better so you understand what that ministry means. What that means is, if you are in that way, you know, if that's how you are wired, what does that mean? Also, how does it color and shape us as a church? And also, we're going to look at how do we encourage that in us? How do we do the left-hand side as a church? How do we encourage each other? We'll do that over the last 5 weeks. So I'm just going to give you 3 points, and then I'm going to finish today. The great problem we've got when we hear this message is we disqualify ourselves straight away. Straight away, we say immediately, okay, that's ministry, evangelism. Whoa, that's a specialist thing. I've met an evangelist. That person's super gifted, and that's them over there. I'm over here. I'm just a normal punter. Apostolic, immediately we think of somebody planting 25 churches and being apostolic. That's not me. Okay, we disqualify ourselves straight away. The scripture does not allow that. It says this, but to each one of you, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, to each one of us, I have gone through 11 commentaries, 13 different books. And do you know what each one of you means? Each one of you, everyone, that's what it means. It does not mean anything else. This letter was written to the whole of the church of Ephesus. It was for the slaves, the women, the men, the young, the old. There was no differentiation. And he says, to you all, each one of you, Christ's grace has been given and Christ's gift has been given. Do you see? It's not about an elite. In fact, what people have done, because this is a slightly separate verse, the verb at the beginning, he gave, and then he says he gave, would they somehow change the second bit and say, well, he must be talking about a specialist little leadership group. And he never says that. Never says that. He says, to each one of us, grace has been given. Wow. You can't disqualify yourself. Sorry. Then the other objection we often have is that if we do understand a little bit more of how we're individually wired, we start to think, yeah, well, I'm very good at looking after people. I'm good at caring, and I like doing that type of thing. That's obviously where my ministry is. For all this other stuff, this prophetic stuff, or this, you know, all that sort of stuff, I don't want to get involved with. That's not me. That's another way we'd often operate. Now, unfortunately, God doesn't allow us that whole escape route, because he says, actually, every single person is involved with these ministries at a base level. Yes, there are people who are particularly orientated around one or two, and we will be looking at as we talk about it this next 5 weeks. But every single one of these represents Jesus' ministry, and every single one at a base level, base command, we are commanded to be involved with. There's no escape. Okay, to prove that, let's start with A, apostolic. What's the greatest apostolic command, Jane, in the Bible? And was that all for just apostles? No, So we've got that one blown out straight away. So go and make disciples. That is a command to all of us. The go, the word go is the apostolic bit. That's what apostolic, it's all about being sent. It's about pushing the frontiers of Christianity out. It's about taking culture and moving it out into the world. It's about all sorts of things we'll cover. But it's all of us are involved in some way. Now, I know that doesn't mean everybody, single person, gets up and goes and plants a church. I'm not saying that. But we're all involved. That command is all of us are connected to it. Prophetic. Anybody think what, how we are joined into the prophetic bit? What does it say in the Bible? Which covers everyone. It's in 1 Corinthians 14. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1? Be eager to prophesy. Is that specialist for the prophets? No. It's written to the whole church in Corinth, who were actually having a riot at the time and all sorts of problems. Every single person is called to prophesy. I'm not saying there aren't people who have prophetic gifting and they're very strong on it. That's good. That's absolutely biblical. But all of us are called to prophesy. So on a Sunday morning like this, get going. Because that's part of what you God has said. Please do it. Do it. Be eager to prophesy. That means get on with it. I'm probably strength being too strong, but I do see it. It's a command to us all, so we can't escape from that one. Evangelism, oh yeah, that's a special. No, it's not. What does it say in 1 Peter 3, verse 15? But in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make the defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Is he saying only evangelists do that? No, that's all of us. I'm sorry. Everyone, be ready to give a defense for that incredible hope that you have in us. You know, hope is one of those, we've been learning this in the hubs, haven't we? That hope is such, it's like a lightning rod when you're talking to people and you can bring hope to something and you change the atmosphere of the whole room. But you need to be ready to explain why. Not a specialist. All of us are involved with that. And then finally, next one, shepherd. Well, this is easier. We always connect to this one the best because we always think, yeah. And Tom always tells me this, and he's absolutely right. In the New Testament, the words one another are said 70 times. 70 times. That's a pretty good indication that we're all involved with shepherding each other, are we? Yes? It's a pretty good one another, love one another, care for one another, one another, another. That's because all of us are involved. We all connect to that. It's not just for specialist shepherds who, yes, they do, and they've got an amazing thing to bring. Shepherds are so key to a church, to bring glue and connect people, but that's all of us are involved. Finally, teacher. Ah, you say, yeah, I can escape that one. That's Julian sat at the front waffling on. No, it's not. All of us are involved with the word, getting hold of the word, grasping the word. And it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you. Not specialists. Not people who just like talking about the Bible. All of us, let the message of God dwell in us as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom. Is that not everyone? Yes. So we have underneath all of this wonderful ministry that God's calling us to, which has specific shades and colors, we're all called to that base level to be the ministry of Jesus to this incredible the broken world. Now I'm going to finish on this last bit because I'm going to let the next 5 weeks we'll go into more details. But he says one word, and I want to finish on this. When he says the scripture about each one of us, he says it's through grace. But to each one of us, grace has being given as Christ apportioned it. I just want to focus and finish on the word grace. Wow. You know, when Jesus talks about when Paul actually, Paul talks about ministry, and he always wraps it with around with grace. It has this weird connection. He always wants to bring grace right into the center of it. What is grace then? Why is grace connected to ministry? Grace in our heads is nearly always what we think about is unmerited favor. And that is absolutely right. Grace is about the unmerited favor of God on each one of us. But it's more than that. Grace, by its nature, is the empowering presence of God to enable us to become who we are and what we're called to do. Let me explain very quickly. We may look at a ministry of Jesus. Let's just say, for example, we think of, being an apostle, apostolic, we see that, or maybe, shepherd or whatever. And there's us. And we hear this, it's that. That's what we should be doing. We look at it immediately and we think, that's where we should be. We've got to start doing this. We've got to go and do it and get on with it. And we see it as almost the thing to do, we've got to do. And we've got to perform it in some way. What grace does is it totally changes this. It says, even the ability to do this is through grace. The whole thing is grace. The actual energy, ability, even the ability to do the ministry of Jesus is through his energizing empowerment. Grace is not just unmerited favor. It's the ability that he gives us to actually do these things. In the middle of being weak, not being perfect. Yeah? That's reality is we're not perfect, any of these things. And also, neither are others around us. They're not perfect. So grace is so key that we operate in grace, through grace, and it's all about grace. It means I can cope with imperfection in my own life, in my own teaching. I'm sure you see plenty of it. And also you cope with it with me, and vice versa. We cope with this difference. Grace is so key. It's through grace he's given us this amazing ministry, because he gives us also the ability to do it and cope disappointment, restrictions, our own failings, our own weaknesses. It's through grace. And I want you to know, we perform, in a way, do it from God's love, not for God's love. That's such a difference. It's because we actually receive God's love, it enables us to do it. And Paul puts that right at the core of every bit of his call to the ministry of Jesus in the church. That's it, folks. We're going to go into a lot more detail. Exciting. I think Rowan's going to speak next. And then we're going to go down the list. We're going to go on to the prophetic and the evangelistic, the shepherd and the teacher, and look into it in more detail. But before we go and finish today, I just want to pray, because this message is so key we hear and receive. So if you just all like to stand up, and let's pray for us to grow in his ministry and grow in our grasp of grace for Jesus for it. Yes, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus. You sent Jesus. We thank you for Jesus, the perfect representation of every part of your heart and your call and your restoration of this planet. Thank you. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus has now re-received your ministry, Lord Jesus, through grace. And I just want to pray as a church we will grow collectively and individually in knowing and understanding your ministry to this world, so you will fill this whole world. Lord Jesus, we just pray as King's House Perth, Lord, we thank you for the amazing things we've already got in our church, the people we've got, the sense of calling some of those people have got, and what you've done and put in them, Lord Jesus. And we pray for that to be encouraged and grown, but we also pray collectively we grow fully, all rounded into what you have called us to be in this world and towards this city in Perth. Father, I just pray for that. And I just pray that again we see your incredible grace that calls us in the middle of weakness, in the middle of things that aren't always right, into your ministry. And you've given us this as a gift. The ministry of Christ as a gift. And I just pray, Father, that we receive everything you've got for us. And we understand the grace of God that brings it all together. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.